Hello everybody, Mama Zone, and this is Mama's Gadget Talk for Thursday, 18th of March, 2021. Kind of trying to still be on time with a Thursday episode, but we have, obviously, it's the end of the week, and we have plenty of things to talk about, almost the end of the week, depending on where you live, but there's some new phones that have already come out. We have lots of new phones coming, but obviously, to start out, there's the Samsung A52 and A72 that has come out. Samsung's really cool mid-ranger phones, and the OnePlus 9 series, which we've been getting a lot of details. Pretty much dripping and not flowing, overflowing. More like it's dripping out with more information about these interesting phones and all that. And we have plenty to talk about, so let's just jump into our first new phones of this past week. And in the coming week, there are tons of new phones coming out. So, again, next two episodes, you definitely don't want to miss those. Do subscribe if you're already listening, wherever you listen to podcasts right now. If you're an Apple and stuff, you know what to do. So yeah, let's get right into it with the new Samsung phones. So Samsung has just released three new mid-ranger phones: the Samsung Galaxy A52, the A52 5G, and A72 smartphones. All these three phones are mid-ranger phones, and they're supposed to kind of get those consumers, that under $500 crowd that exists all over the world, which is a really big market, to say the least. More amazing than that is the fact that from these three mid-rangers, there is a 5G version of the A52, the Galaxy A52 5G, which is absolutely phenomenal, to say the least. So we can't just talk about these really cool mid-end phones without talking about their specs. So let's just read through the specs interestingly. So the Galaxy A52, which is the basic version, has a 6.5-inch Full HD Plus Super AMOLED Infinity O notch display. That's a resolution of 1080 by 2400 with a pixel density of roughly 407 ppi and 90 Hz refresh rate out of the gate. It weighs 189 grams and features a 32 megapixel selfie camera, 64 f2.2 aperture, and 0.8 micrometers. Gotta emphasize the selfie camera for those folks buying these affordable phones. It has a 64 megapixel main sensor on the rear with optical image stabilization, autofocus, f1.8 aperture, 0.8 micrometer pixel size, 12 megapixel ultra-wide sensor, f2.2, 1.12 micrometers, 5 megapixel macro, and 5 megapixel depth sensor, which have the same sort of sensor size of f2.4 aperture and 1.12 micrometer pixel size. That is, and you get 10x digital zoom without a problem. On top of that, being an affordable phone, this will come in three variants. So there is a It'll come in 4, 6, and 8 gigabyte variants, with a choice of either 128 or 256 gigabytes of storage. So the actual storage specs will vary, so you'll have to see when you go and buy these phones. As for the processor, which weirdly Samsung omits on the press release, so the Galaxy A52 features a Snapdragon 720G processor, a solid mid-range processor that has been proven to be a really solid chip. You've seen it on plenty of competing products, and it's quite promising for it. It will just do the job for what it is. That's all I probably have to say. You get a hybrid micro SD card dual SIM slot, so you can actually put two SIM cards, or the second SIM card could be used as an SD card. You know, you get what I'm talking about. And with a micro SD card, you can use an up to 1 terabyte micro SD card. This is important for affordable phones because you'll run out of storage very quickly. Now, this is the regular A52, so it will only do 4G out of the gate, and has a 4500 mAh battery, 25 watt fast charging. Comes with AC, up to AC Wi-Fi, Bluetooth 5, USB-C, which is, hey, seems like Samsung is adding some really good features. You get a And you get a fingerprint sensor. Now, this, yes, it's this, I think this is the power button, thing. It's the one on the power button, potentially. It's not, doesn't mention in-display fingerprint sensor. But that's not really something to talk about at this price, but, well, it is interesting to say the least. But yeah, I mean, and it has IP67 water and dust resistance, which I think is nice to have on a phone at a incredibly competitive price, if you know what I mean. So the Galaxy A52, the regular 4G variant, will start from €350. So we do our usual currency calculation. Now it's become a catchphrase of mine. That'll be 416 Benjamins, or $416 straight away. I'll have to keep the currency converter right over here, or currency calculation, as I like to call it, weirdly enough. And then on top of the main A52, you have the A52 5G. Now, the difference really is that you have the same vibrant Super AMOLED display, but you get double the refresh rate. You get the same camera. You get a Snapdragon 750G, which is nuts. Which is not bad for being a mid-range phone, which is okay. It's cool. And you only have 6 or 8 gigabytes of RAM with a pairing of 128 or 256 gigabytes of storage, give and take. And you have almost the same battery and fast charging, and all that good stuff. And the same USB-C port. NFC is included on both A52 variants, and the same sensors. But and water and dust resistance is all similar here. Not bad. Well, you get 5G, but it's actually the sub-6 5G, so this is a low and mid-band sub-6 5G that should use the sub-6 flavor, which is the around 6 gigahertz spectrum, the mid-band 5G spec, which is not bad. In some countries, you get gigabit speeds off those, so that's nothing to complain about, but it's really, really solid nonetheless. So you have the same, so the A52 5G really packs double the refresh rate. You really have a little, you probably have a little more RAM as base spec. A Snapdragon 750G, 5G built in, mid-band 5G, which should do wonders for some people out there in some countries. And you essentially, in some countries, really, millimeter wave 5G is not really there because you don't really need it. And, you know, sub-6 does wonders in some countries. I think in Bahrain, all 5G networks run on mid-band spectrum, so you shouldn't be worried. You're already getting 5G service straight off the bat, and there's also better coverage, mind you, in case you forgot. You'll forget to notice that the 5G is a thing, but the A52 5G will start at €430. Now, honestly, this looks quite like the premium for a 5G spec phone. That actually will be roughly $512. So, basically, what are you paying that kind of money for? You're paying the fact that you have 5G, you've got a 64 megapixel camera with OIS, you're getting waterproofing, you're getting the best of the best Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, if that matters, and NFC and USB-C. So you get some creature comforts. I mean, this will do wonders for a lot of people at around $500. But I'll tell you that the A52 5G will be great if you're buying a cheap, affordable phone on a network that does 5G, and you want a phone on contract, but you don't want to get the iPhone or God knows the S21 Ultra, and you're not that guy, and you don't want to spend that kind of money, and this will be a good phone at that budget. And then finally, there's the Galaxy A72, which features a 6.7-inch Full HD Plus Super AMOLED Infinity O display, pixel density of 394 ppi, 90Hz refresh rate. It weighs 203 grams. It has the same 32 megapixel front-facing camera. Interestingly enough, you get a 64 megapixel camera, so almost similar to the A52, a 12 megapixel ultra-wide sensor with f2.2 aperture, 1.2 micrometers. The same macro sensor from the looks of it, and a 3x telephoto sensor, 8 megapixel. So you get 3 times optical zoom and 30 times digital zoom. for a phone, this is not bad. 8 megapixel sensor with OIS and f2.4 aperture and 1 micrometer sensor size. As for the processor, I have to keep referring it back and forth. Is going to be a Snapdragon 720G, which is not bad. So what you really are getting is an extra sensor which does 3x optical zoom, which is not too shabby. You get 6 or 8 gigabytes of RAM with 128 or 256 gigabytes of storage. You get a 5000 mAh battery, same fast charging. It's 4G only, unfortunately, which is a bit of a bummer. Given you, I don't know how much you'll have to pay for this phone, which is interesting. You get the same connectivity options, NFC, same sensors, fingerprint sensor. Really don't know where exactly. And you get IP67 water and dust resistance. The Galaxy A72 is available at starting at 450 euros. That's the base spec. And that's 20 euros extra than the A52 5G, and that's $535. Honestly, I'll be frank with you straight away. The A72 would be good on a contract, but yeah, it's quite a fascinating phone. What the difference really is that the A72 is a tad bit bigger, so yeah, that there really goes the A52 and A72. Really interesting mid-range phones. There are some good stuff you're getting here for the money. You get ability to add a microSD card up to 1 terabyte of storage. You get stereo speakers, really cool. The Galaxy A52 has 5G built in, which is not bad. You get a big battery, but then again, 4,000, 5,000 mAh battery capacity is standard pretty much in the industry. If you think about it, you look far enough, there are options on the market with 4,000 or 5,000 mAh battery, which is interesting. But yeah, I mean, there's some, we should emphasize a bunch of really cool things about the A52 and A72, but I think we need to be realistic and realize that the A52 and the A72, and this is a phone that really will be available across the world, this is the thing, it'll be available worldwide, it's available in the West, it's available in the US, it's available in Western Europe, it's available in many, many major markets, where God knows the Oppo Reno 5 or 7, I don't know, I've lost count of which one, the Oppo Reno 7 or 5, 5G, 5 Plus Pro, what, and you know, the Redmi, Realme, those brands don't exist in places like the United States or, I don't know, in the UK. They're not available in that many places or carriers, and these phones are there as the affordable option for some consumers. So really, Samsung has essentially created a global affordable phone. Really, this will be available, truly, it's a truly global phone, so it'll be available across the planet. And I have to emphasize that point because we have the Redmi Note 10 series, really good phone, K40 series, the Poco phones that are coming out, the Realme 8 series, and the OnePlus 9R, which we're going to talk about down the road. The problem is they're only available in a select bunch of markets, and that's the issue. We'd love to talk about those phones. They're great, good value for money. Problem is, they're not available in that many markets. If you're in the US, you're out of luck. You can't buy a Realme or a Redmi in the US right now because of circumstances. So these phones really are, for some people, the affordable mid-range phone you'd want to get in some parts of the world, even though they are kind of commanding a good premium. Well, you gotta emphasize on where's the premium at? I mean, let's break that down. So first of all, there's some things I really liked about these two phones. I mean, before we get onto the premium, really, the premium aspects, the design's really nice. It has this kind of matte, the camera bulge kind of shrinks into the. It's inspired by the S21 series, not directly inspired but indirectly, and the camera bulge, the island, that kind of sinks right in. It's almost similar to the Find X3 Pro from Oppo, which is really interesting. Now that's really what I like. So it's quite elegant, and it has this kind of, it's not glossy or anything, and I think that's really, really beautiful. So it seems like they put their work towards these devices. But more than interestingly, I'll probably just pop onto the premium aspects. Now, first of all, these two phones will have camera sensors, both feature 64 megapixel main sensors, and you get plenty of sensors on the side for ultra wide and macro, whereas the A72 offers a 3x optical zoom telephoto lens, along with that can do 30 times digital zoom. If you love zooming into things, good value. But frankly, I don't see the value of it, honestly. Though it's a welcome feature, I'd say, to have four camera sensors standard on this phone. They really are gunning for the skies, really. But given how much they really, really end up costing for some people, not bad value for money. I mean, you get four entire sensors, 64 megapixel camera with optical image stabilization. Now this is an eye opener. There are not many phones out there that have optical image stabilization. This is a real quality of life function. I think if you use your camera a lot, you move it around, you jig it around for pictures of it or moving it while taking pictures or recording videos, this would make it all the much better, and I think people definitely notice that compared to a competing product that probably could be 30% cheaper. You know where I'm coming from. Interestingly enough, you have night mode, which should be included at this price, and AR emojis, because why not? And interestingly enough, it has one interesting feature straight from the S20 and S21 series. 4K video snap, not 8K video snap, 4K video snap. So you record 4K videos and quickly get an 8 megapixel picture from that 4K video, which I think is really nice. So there really are, these are the three phones that really, where Samsung brings out a lot of features from the high-end phones. Now that's one part of the aspect. Another interesting part is how these are not too expensive phones. These are quite affordable. I mean, for some folks out there in some places, you get IP67 water and dust resistance, which I think is really impressive. I think there's probably the licensing part. There's the cost toward licensing it, but I think Samsung found it worthy. They could brag about it. And then also there's the A52 5G, which I think is really awesome. Mid-band 5G, the price you're looking at, it's not bad. It's really, really solid for what it is. It does the job. I mean, it would probably do wonders at that level. I forgot the 64 megapixel sensor. You can even do tetra binning, so it can bring down those pixels all the way down to those 16 megapixel shots, which is not too shabby, to say the least. And obviously you get a 90 hertz refresh rate. So seems like Samsung's looking at the competition. They're watching the competition carefully. They're not sitting there going like, this could be good and that could be good. They are watching out for the competition, and they're trying to, they added some nice sprinkles to make it worth the premium. I mean, the price is solid if you think about it. I bring it back here. Calculation. I mean, it really is what it is in that regard. But also more than that, after a moment of silence. But interestingly enough, on top of the, I'd say, awesome design, awesome display, awesome 5G, awesome chip, and awesome main camera, I'd say. Also, you have the software update. So, fortunately enough, unlike most of the competition, these three phones will come with One UI 3, which is essentially based on Android 11, and will offer three generations of software upgrades and 4 years of security updates. This is, I think, good peace of mind if you ask anyone out there who's buying these devices. And honestly, the software is more important. It's what makes these devices amazing. So yeah, now the question arises from it all, being that these are three new Samsung mid-rangers, they're good value for money. The price, if it could be 30% cheaper, they could do wonders. But maybe by the time they do, if they are given that Samsung's phones are widely available, which one is the best value for money? Now, I've looked at the A72, fortunately, and it's only 0.2 inches bigger. You only get a 3x telephoto sensor for zoom and stuff. You only have 500 milliamp hours extra. So it's a bit of a horrible value. Like, they had to pack a third phone in. The A72, there's no clear differentiator. There's no reason why I probably end up spending $600. This is a world where you can end up getting a global potentially the global version of the Realme GT could end up costing just as much as the A72. So I don't see any real value for money here. But honestly, after you get past that, the A52 5G makes all the sense. A 750G, a more recent chip with some newer cores, built mid-band 5G. In some countries, you can't get a cheap mid-range 5G phone. If you live in Bahrain, there are probably very few phones out there that have mid-band 5G, and they're cheap and stuff, but you'll have to really dig around. But if you're like trying to get a phone officially at a retailer or in one of the many mobile networks on contract, this is a good value for money. A52 5G, you get a solid phone. I'd say if you're in Bahrain and you're buying this phone on STC or Batelco, good value for money. And also you get good 5G speeds. So I'd recommend this phone, the A52 5G. It's good for buying a 5G cheap 5G phone on a mobile contract, on a postpaid contract. So it's a good phone. You get some good specs. 120Hz display, 64 megapixel OIS sensor, IP67 water and dust resistance. It's good. It's good value for money. And it's probably worth the premium compared to the competition, for the looks of it. The regular A52 is really good, but you missed the 5G, and it's not much of a... If you don't want 5G, you could get the A52. That itself is a good value for money. But the A72, why did they have to make it? This is a phone that... It was unwanted for it. Nobody asked for it. I just can't see the sense for it. It doesn't make any sense. The A52 series makes tons of sense. The 14 5G variant, good value for money. I can understand the value here, the value proposition. Even if you wait a year later and buy it, it's good value for money. It's really, really good value for money. So aside from my own kind of comments, there's no information about when the A52 or A72 phones are coming out, but they'll come out. They'll be available hopefully in the next couple of weeks worldwide. And this is the best part. You can walk into a Best Buy, or if you're in Britain, Carrefour. There's no Carrefour in Britain. there's no Carrefour in England, Moan. What's wrong with you? I mean, there could be, but why would you? There's Amazon Prime grocery. You could do that. Anyways, if you're in Britain, you can walk into a Carrefour warehouse, or I don't know if you're back in Bahrain, you can walk into a Sharp DG store. You can pick this phone up at least, and that's the best part of it. Unlike the rivaling brands, and although here you'll have to pay a bit more money, and I'll be frank with you, a bit more money for these phones, almost 20-30% extra. The best part is it will be available on every major network, hopefully, and every major retailer will sell it in their stores, and you'll be able to find it easily everywhere. And I think that's the beauty about these phones compared to the competition. So I think that's the nuts part about it. So I mean, I recommend the A52 4G and 5G variant. It's absolutely good value for money. You'll be able to find it, frankly. I mean, let's face it. I mean, good luck finding the Realme GT if you go to a Best Buy. They're like, huh? Realme GT? Oh, well, so, yeah. The A52 phones, I definitely recommend them from the looks of it. I mean, that's really awesome value for money. Again, outside of markets where Realme and Redmi exist. If you live in a country where Realme and Redmi are available, those options are available in stores. You can find them on online retailers. In fact, entire mom and pop shops sell it. Retailer sets. There's one at your hypermarket. Go get those two other brands, you know. But aside from that, if you have no other choice, the A52 5G is phenomenal. Good on a contract, good upfront as it is. So yeah, there you have it. That was the A52 and A72. I really am waiting for the other A-series phones, hopefully. They are better value than this, or equally good value like it. And speaking of which, now that we have these new mid-range phones, the S21 series and much, much more, there's still more to come. Apparently, according to Sam Mobile, the Samsung fan blog for their phones, from the looks of it, the fanboy site for their phones, the Galaxy Z Fold 3 and Z Flip 2 are going to be launching in Q3 2021, along with some new smartwatches. Is interesting, and apparently there will probably be a Galaxy S21 FE later on in Q4, like the S20 FE last year. We've talked about the S20 FE; it's really, really good, especially one with a Qualcomm chip in it. It's really good, and hopefully some new M series phones. Again, this is a report that's kind of come out, but interestingly enough. Get this, and something to note. We may not get a new Galaxy Note. Oh my. Let's hope 2021 is not that bad that they actually delay the Galaxy Note. I kind of, you know, we've already talked about it several episodes ago about how Galaxy S20, Galaxy Note, the Note 21 or the Note 30 will never come out this year, or it may have come, you know. Well, I had like this feeling that like the Galaxy Note was gonna get canceled. Like the foldables were important, and the S series phones were good, and we've seen S21 Ultra. It's been selling well, especially with the S Pen functionality added in. You know, because like, no one's buying the Note 20 phones from the looks of it. Like I haven't heard anyone with a Note 20 yet, except for some tech reviewers. But actually, the reason we may not get a Galaxy Note 21 or Note 30 this year is something to do with the overall problem that we're experiencing in the tech industry, and that is chip shortages. So apparently, Reuters quotes an SVP, a senior vice president at HMC Securities, who claims that basically there's a chip shortage going on that has affected the automobile industry and has kind of affected GPU production for like and RTX cards for Nvidia and stuff. And now it may hit Samsung's mid-range phones and laptops and possibly their flagship devices. And that means that they may not be able to push out a Note 21 or Note 30 this year. They could delay it till next year, which is interesting to say the least. So it's quite crazy that it's coming straight to that point, which is insane from the looks of it. It's unbelievable, you know. Can't believe we're in a world where we're literally running out of chips for computing devices. We need more fabs, right? And this is on top of Ivan Blass kind of leaking out a 2021 product launch roadmap for Samsung devices. So kind of showing that Samsung's planning to launch, or they're already kind of mentioning that on the 17th of March there's the A series phones have been launched, and now there's another launch for a product, but that's on the 26th of March from the looks of it. And then there's an event next month for their laptops, and then possibly in July there might be an event for the A22 series of phones, and then August 19th is the S21 FE launch event, which is interesting. So it got leaked out. And what's next? The whole device? Oh well. So, plenty to look forward to. There's no mention of the foldables, and there's definitely no mention of the Galaxy Note 21 or Note 30, which is weird. So that means it might be releasing it next year, or maybe keeping it almost to the end of the year, or towards the end of the year, almost for the looks of it. So that's that. So that's absolutely interesting. And speaking of the foldables from Samsung, the Z Fold 3 and the Z Flip 2 will potentially come in the Z Fold 3 may come in black and green at least, and the Z Flip 2 would be probably coming in light violet, green, black, and beige, which is interesting. Now, we don't really know how they look, but I'm kind of expecting they have this modern gradient finish. So there you have it. That's your whole galaxy of information that I probably know of as of now for these devices. And we've unpacked everything for the looks of it. Moving on to the OnePlus 9 series. We have lots of things. We have lots of information. The information is dripping in incredibly quickly. Probably one thing that we really don't know is the final specs and price, pretty much. So first tidbit of news is to do with OnePlus 9 Pro. OnePlus has announced that OnePlus 9 Pro will be doing 50-watt wireless fast charging out of the gate. Not just wired charging, wireless charging. One of the first OnePluses out there to do it, from the looks of it, which is not bad. I think this is one feature that people have been complaining about. OnePlus is a great, phenomenal flagship killer, never settle, everything, all that good stuff, but no wireless charging. These are premium phones. I'm paying $600, $700 and they don't have wireless chargers. Too bad. Well, even though we kind of know how much beneficial wireless charging is, but weirdly enough, they are finally planning to include 50-watt wireless fast charging on top of the 65-watt wired fast charging. Unfortunately, you will get a 65-watt plug charger in the box with a cable that can do that, and apparently you can use the cable and wall plug you can switch out for a wireless charging pad and charge at incredibly fast speeds. So that's absolutely bananas from the looks of it. So I'm kind of psyched. It seems like they are ironing out all the little bits and bobs and problems about the OnePlus series of phones. So that's interesting. And then we have more information about the OnePlus 9R, which is their affordable phone, the cheap phone of the three. Now, Pete Lau, OnePlus's CEO, he's currently CEO, Pete Lau, has spoke to News 18, a pretty famous news channel in India. You guys will know what that is. Pretty big news channel in India, and he delved further into the OnePlus 9R, and he mentioned plenty of things. And the first of all is the fact that the OnePlus 9R will be definitely be coming. We haven't heard much about it, and that is that the OnePlus 9R will be available first in India. That speaks wonders about the fact that OnePlus is a popular brand in India. Its affordable phones sell like hotcakes. OnePlus Nord was a big selling phone, and it was built for that kind of market. Affordable, the consumers have very good taste in smartphones. They want high-end specs for low prices. And so they're looking to do that with OnePlus 9R. The 9R will essentially be a affordable phone that can do wonders. In terms of specs, the 9R may not have a Snapdragon 888, but probably have a slightly lower-end processor. Either it could be the 870, or it could be the 700 series chip that is really sufficient for these users. 750G could do wonders. Or else, again, all to make it quite affordable. On top of that, he went on explaining that or also could have an 800 series chip too. That's all. But basically, he stated, with the OnePlus 9R, we're looking to go even further to bring out a balanced headset with the latest technology and class-leading industrial design that can deliver a superior user experience overall and get the superior user experience, and can also offer fast and smooth experiences for daily usage and heavy gameplay. So he's kind of, now we don't know much about this phone, there's a lot that got leaked, but we don't know the overall picture, but it looks like they're looking to make an affordable phone that obviously will first come in India. It'll probably be priced well under 35,000 rupees Indian, which could be competitive in that market from the looks of it, or well below, around that price tag. It can have a 90Hz display. It'll probably be focused on having a more better user experience. It could probably be for those consumers that want a OnePlus phone, and don't want to pay an arm and a leg and a kidney for those phones, given how good they are. Interestingly, we also there have been teasers for this phone, and the OnePlus 9R will also come with 5G built in. So obviously, the 700 to 800 series chip could be expected. So that was the 9R, really. It's kind of interesting. We've been teased, really, pretty much. Now we have to wait till next week to find out what's in these phones. Is it worth the money? Is it worth the time and money? So that's something to, they're not going to settle for a bunch of premium phones. And finally, the OnePlus Watch. pardon me. OnePlus Watch is happening, first of all. I think that's surprising, and people forget to realize that actually a year ago, if I told you OnePlus Watch was going to launch 2021, on top of the fact that vaccines actually cause cases to go down, you'd call me an idiot, first of all. But hey, it's happening. OnePlus Watch is a thing. In fact, OnePlus has teased immensely about the smartwatch. Now, we have some interesting tidbits. Number one, the OnePlus Watch will not have Google's Wear OS. Yikes. Whoops, no wonder Google bought Fitbit. They need to have domination in the wearable business. Too bad. But it makes sense for OnePlus. I think they could offer a customized software experience by not having Wear OS, but having their own operating system. They could create a better user experience. They could have more integration with the apps on the actual OnePlus phones. That's happening. That's there. But on top of that, that we have had more teasers. On top of the fact that the OnePlus Watch will be able to monitor your heart rate and detect your steps, which is interesting. And again, based on rumors, what we know is that it could come with a blood oxygen sensor, could offer workout detection, sleep tracking, 4GB of internal storage, which is good for storing music and all that kind of stuff out of the gate. And This could come in regular Wi-Fi or 4G variants potentially, and a OnePlus Watch can help you control your OnePlus TV. Now, if you have a OnePlus TV, pretty nifty party trick. Really, I mean, you could go to your friends and you have your big OnePlus OLED TV, phenomenal TV, simple remote, and you can tell your friends, hey, do you know my watch can change the channels? And you just swipe up and like, whoa! So, it's really, really cool. And weirdly enough, potentially, this watch could have warp charge, which is nuts from the looks of it. So that's interesting. And this is on top of the fact that it could have IP68 water and dust resistance, which is interesting. But I will tell you this, the OnePlus Watch will probably have a circular design. The teasers have shown us, there's a teaser video that came out yesterday, showing a circular design, a little bit like a Moto 360, a bit like the Galaxy Watches. So it'll have that kind of design, which is interesting. And apparently there was a leak of this watch, and they claim that it could be 4 or 6 millimeters in diameter size, which is interesting to say the least. So yeah, so they really are not settling for a dinky little smartwatch. They want to keep it packed. I think this would be a good smartwatch to look out for, on top of the bajillion options in the wearable market, from the Apple Watches to the Amazfits and stuff. This could be an interesting product, and the best part is it'll be available wherever the OnePlus 9 series will come out, and that's wonderful. So can't wait for next week where they'll show this off. I really can't wait for it. I think it's about time that they bring out a smartwatch. I can't believe it's actually happening after all this time. I thought they were not going to release it, frankly. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. I mean, you will not understand. Like, this was almost, it almost got cancelled, but seems like people want a smartwatch, a good smartwatch with usable features. At least OnePlus fans will buy it in droves, and I think that's the powerful aspect compared to other brands. Oppo had a smartwatch, but nobody bought it. That's the weirdest part about it, so yeah. Alrighty, so that was like the Samsung and OnePlus stuff. Moving to Xiaomi. Apparently, someone on Weibo has leaked out Xiaomi's first foldable phone. Which is apparent. So, someone has essentially shared the design of a Xiaomi Mi Mix phone. We really don't know what it's going to be called or what it is exactly. But it apparently has a design. There's an outer display, and then there's like this area where there's a camera and everything. It's kind of blurry pictures. Okay, this is a crystal clear one. So, basically, like this is the leaker shot with an iPhone, haha, very funny. But essentially has this Z Fold-esque design, being Xiaomi's first foldable, which is interesting. It has this, it has triple cameras on the back, and they're kind of protruding outwards, which is interesting. And it has this elegant finish. And on the inside, it shows the hinge, and so it essentially has this kind of, it almost has this butterfly hinge. It just kind of looks sturdy. But yeah, this is Xiaomi's first foldable phone that they're planning to launch, which is interesting to say the least. We really don't know much about it. We now know the design of this device, which is very, very interesting. It's got the Huawei Mate X2 vibes, the Samsung Galaxy Fold vibes, pretty much. Apparently, this could be one of three foldables that Xiaomi's planning to launch this year, and in the coming year. So that's interesting to say the least. Oh, this report mentions that it lacks the camera module and the main display, which is the foldable display. The outer display is visible from the looks of it. It looks like the phone is made out of metal and glass from the looks of it, so that's interesting. But the fact that Xiaomi's first foldable could be a Mi Mix something says a lot about Xiaomi looking to also offer foldables, which is interesting. I mean, the market's growing for these devices, so that's that. And finally, this is really interesting because we always talk about electric vehicles, electric mobility, and all these products because they're really, really awesome. But Specialized, a really famous e-bike company in the U.S., or a pretty big player in bikes in the U.S. that I've never heard of, which is interesting, is teaming up with a company called Redwood Materials. Now, if you've heard of that company, that's because Redwood Materials is run by Jeffrey Straubel, or J.B. Straubel, better known as J.B. Straubel, who originally co-founded Tesla until Elon Musk bought it, and the rest is history. Interestingly, this collaboration is obviously this is an interesting collaboration, as Specialized is obviously making e-bikes and are looking to offer and looking to have sort of a full cycle recyclable e-bike batteries, which is interesting. So the idea essentially is that the batteries that will go into these e-bikes, people will use them excessively for many, 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 many hours on end and years on end, it'll go years and years on end and be using it completely. And then when the time comes that these batteries no longer do their job, they're discharged heavily, people send them straight to the landfill, or they're just dumped or left in the corner collecting dust. So what's happening here is that Redwood Materials essentially will help Specialized essentially recycle their e-bike batteries by sending the batteries from the folks at Specialized over to Redwood, and Redwood would then strip open the batteries, take out all the crucial materials, sort of recycle the entire battery, and not really reuse it, because it'll be discharged heavily and it'll have lower mileage, but they'll sort of take out the material, scrap the whole battery, and recreate a new, nicer battery, which I think is really, really cool. I don't know if this is if it works, but I'm sure if it is proven that they're doing it in big numbers. So that's really interesting, to say the least. So the plan is that by end of 2021, for Specialized, they want almost all their e-bikes, or one of the e-bike batteries really, to be able to be recycled and reused for a new battery that can be used elsewhere, or also used again by Specialized for their own bikes, which is really, really awesome. Interestingly enough, so the thing, e-bikes are growing in popularity, and because there's so many people who are buying e-bikes and using them excessively, there's a high likelihood of so many dead and useless batteries coming. So that could be a real possibility, and also land waste with e-waste is a big problem. I mean, until there is quite strict regulations or anything like that, there's no way to ensure a fully efficient life cycle for batteries, where essentially you do make batteries and then afterwards, when they are no longer of any good use, you pick them up, recycle them, and reuse them again, pretty much. So that's that. So that's kind of interesting. So I mean, it's challenging to do e-waste recycling. It's a difficult business. Few people do it. And, you know, it ends up being that the waste is sold abroad, which is pretty sad. But yeah, it's kind of fascinating, to say the least. Fortunately, how are we able to know that you can go and recycle these batteries, or something is going to go off of the battery that they can go and recycle from now, is that essentially there'll be diagnostic notifications from, obviously, the app for their e-bikes. And the idea is that there'll sort of be an expected end of life, and if the battery starts to degrade, you can essentially go and recycle the battery, and essentially and then you can get a new one, pretty much. And I think that's lovely. This is how much more environmentally friendly electric mobility will get, is that there's factors like recycling and all that, and really, as more and more of us use electric vehicles, electric motors, electric bikes, and electric mobility and vehicles, we really will need these recycling efforts. This is a welcome step, in my own opinion, and especially from a reputable folk like JB, who started Tesla, pretty much, and started the technology that created the electric vehicle, which I think is really awesome. I think that the emphasis has been the fact that essentially that a pretty famous e-bike maker has teamed up with a company that probably is kind of known for recycling batteries, and we really need to get batteries recycled. You know, batteries are not included in some things, as always. So it's really, really cool initiative, a really cool collaboration. I think we need more of these as we are moving to an e-mobility EV world. We'll need these recycling efforts. Like, this is a responsible thing to do, if you know what I mean. But yeah, what do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know on Instagram and Twitter. I'm @Sayed_Mao99. Follow me right there if you can. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe on Apple, on Spotify, on Google, wherever you listen to podcasts, pretty much. Leave a review if you're on Apple Podcasts. It really takes a lot of effort. So any support or feedback, or really sharing the show with your friends and family, anything you can do to help get this podcast to be a big thing, or to be bigger than Lou Later or some other podcast that I probably listen to a lot, will definitely help. All your support is definitely appreciated. But yeah, that has been the podcast. I don't know what to say, really. I mean, thank you for listening. You know what to do. take care, stay safe, have a great weekend. I'll see you next week, and we have obviously plenty of phones to talk about and plenty of things to talk. It's Martin's Get to Talk, you know what to do. Stay tuned, you know, subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. But that's been it. Thank you for listening. Have a great day, have a great weekend, and you know, if you're going out, wear a mask if you can, and I'll see you next week. Ciao.